Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I am Pastor Coley. I am one of the associate pastors here on staff, and my title is Pastor of Discipleship and Assimilation, and I'm working on getting the assimilation part changed, because that's a big word, and it's like, what does that mean? Okay. Anyway, hey, there's a lot of cool stuff happening here at Spring Hills, and if you're new here, I hope that you saw through the announcement, there's a lot of things that God is doing, from the Women's Winter Bible Study to small groups launching in a few weeks to just a variety of ways you can get involved and serve here. So I'm really excited to be a part of Spring Hills and the ministry and what God's doing in the community here. I'm excited also to talk with you today. You probably noticed there's something up here on stage that I'm going to be referring to a little bit. If you have children and they were in the service, maybe that got their attention as they walked in. Why don't you tell me real quick, what do you think this is? It's a Lego. Wait, somebody said something else. What? It's a huge Lego. That's right. And I have to thank my good friend, Tom Matthews. Tom, several weeks ago, I told him I was going to be doing this message, and I had this idea. And I said, Tom, is there any way you could build a giant Lego? And he said, well, let me think about it and do some research and get back to you. And I am so impressed with this Lego. I don't know if you can see it, but it even says Lego right here. I mean, it's awesome. So I really appreciate my good friend Tom building that for me. And I'm going to be referring to this. There you see a picture of my family and I. You see myself and then my daughter Letty, who's 10 years old, and then my 16-year-old son Carter, and then my beautiful wife Tanya, who's sitting right down here. And then our dog snuck into the picture. You know, Pastor Tom talks about his big dog. We have a dog that's about this size. So Malty snuck into the family picture there. I didn't really want it. But anyway, okay, so we had a good time there. That kind of gives you an idea of who we are. I have to turn this on for it to work. Yep. Okay. Good deal. Hey, the title of the message today is Created to Connect. Created to Connect. And I love this idea because I think it's one that God, several months ago, I really strongly believe and know in my heart, kind of my core, God started to give me this idea and let it swirl around in my head. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm slow, and so God has to give me things ahead of time and let them kind of ruminate a little bit, you know, and it's got to cook in me for a little while. And so this idea that we are created to connect has been in my mind and in my prayer life for several months now, actually. And I'm going to look at two verses today. I'll reference some others, but we're going to look primarily at these two, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, and Acts 2, 41 through 47. And you're probably familiar with some of those, some of what that says, and that's good. But we're going to dig in a little deeper there. Now, we are created to connect. I'm going to show you in this verse here. Let me pray real quick before we read God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've brought us here. We thank you for your faithfulness through this past week and through the holiday season, Lord. We are blessed, and we know we're blessed. Lord, we just come to you this morning as a body of believers, as a faith community, and we want to gather around you. This service is God-centered. Our lives are, we're striving to be God-centered. We really want this time, this teaching time, where we look deeply into your word. We want it to be God-centered. We want your Holy Spirit to teach us. We want to be open to what you want to say. And so, God, if there's anything on our minds or hearts that would keep us from that, that would distract us from the message your word has for us, I pray that you just remove it. I pray that you help us let go of it. Any worries from the holidays, any plans we have this afternoon, if there's anything that would distract us, just remove those things. Let your word speak. Let your word go forth and do its work, the work that you've already begun. We are so thankful for who you are, for your character, for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Lord, we trust you with this time. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thank you very much. Hey, just to take a page from Pastor Tom's preaching book a little bit, I highlighted some words there, and when we get to those, I'd like for you to try to read that. So let's try that. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, everything is from God who us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of, that is, in Christ, God was the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be to God. I'm going to take a drink of water because my voice is getting worse. It's that thing that's going around that everybody seems to have. I love this verse, and I'm going to start here, and we're going to kind of launch into this idea that you're created to connect. Now look at that first phrase, everything is from God. In 2 Corinthians 5, there's a very famous verse that if you've been in the faith for any length of time, you probably have come across this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which many of you, some of you perhaps have memorized. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that'll give us some context here. I just want to pull it up real quick. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And then right after that, new things have come, it says everything is from God. Everything is from God. God is a creator. None of you probably would argue that with me. Somehow, some way, some form, your theology, you've acknowledged or you believe that God is a creator. And you may be young earth, old earth, whatever when it comes to creationism, but you probably understand and believe that God is a creator. And he is. He's a creator. He's got to create. And he's created you and me. He created, this takes me back to Genesis, this phrase, everything is from God, reminds me of Genesis, where he says, in the beginning God created. And he started creating stars, and he started creating galaxies, and he started creating the waters, and he created sky, and he created animals and plants. And then he gets to the pinnacle of his creation. And what was that? It was us. It was us, because he created us in their image. He created them male and female in the image of God. And so he's a creator. I love this picture because it tells me, it reminds me, it's a little visual, just like this Lego is going to be a visual for you today. This picture here, I hope you can see it. It just is creative. But God is not only a creator, he's a connector. And this picture shows us somebody who's creating a clay pot. But they're not only just creating it, they're connecting with that clay pot. You see, God didn't just speak man into existence. It says he formed him. He formed him. And then he breathed into us. And that's different than any other creation he had. And God is a creator, but he's also a connector. And he created you to be connected to him. And maybe you came in here this week, and maybe you've gone through the rush of the holidays, and you don't feel connected. I got through about the Swayze Chapel service. I got through the first Christmas Eve service. And I'll be honest with you, I'll confess to you, as my brothers and sisters, I really wasn't connecting. I was going through the motions of work. I'm sorry, sometimes pastors do that. This becomes work. It shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it happens. So those first few services, those candlelight services, they were beautiful. I know they were effective. I know they were impactful to people, but I wasn't connecting. And then that third service, the 7 o'clock service, I'm really sorry about my voice. That third service, I came down here and I sat with my wife and my children. And I sat right here, and as they sang, as Pastor Brad sang, I just released and I just felt connected to God. And maybe some of that was your experience through the holidays. And you went through the motions. You remembered what it was all for. Maybe you read the Christmas story on Christmas Eve with your family. But you didn't really feel connected to God. And I want this picture to be a visual for you today. Look how messy those hands are. That creator in that picture, they're intimately involved in that clay. Let that be a reminder to you today that God is your creator, but he's also a connector with you. He wants to connect with you. And he wants to get in your life. He wants to get messy. That's why he sent his son Jesus. He wants to do that. If you've walked in here today and you don't feel connected to him, it's okay. Because that can be fixed instantly. You can say a prayer right now in your seat and you can be reconnected because of what this verse is telling us. And I'm going to go back to it. Look at this. God, everything is from God. Who reconciled us to himself. He wanted to be reconnected with us. I hope you're with me this morning. I hope you sense that. I hope you sense my heart. I found this wonderful little quote. I was already having this thought that people are like Legos. Something a few years ago, somebody said something to my wife. We were living in Thailand, and a lady made a comment to her. She said, "You know, I really like you." And we had just moved there, by the way, so we had just moved into a new town. And this lady said, "You know, I really like you, Tanya. I feel like we could probably be really good friends, but I really don't have any more space in my life. All my slots are full." And that began this idea of people like Legos. You know, some of you, if you're an extrovert like me, maybe you feel like you have 8 slots for connection in your life, and you're always looking for ways to connect. Oh, I want to connect with them. Oh, I see somebody over there. Oh, look at this room full of potential friends. That's kind of me. That's kind of my son, one of my sons. But then there's others of you who walk in, and you feel like you maybe, and this is why I love Legos. They're all unique, you know, and you may be a Lego with 2 connections. And you're like, I only have enough energy for 2 connections. Now, my connections will be strong, my connections will be deep, but that's all I got. Hey, that's okay, because it takes all of us. I think people are like Legos, and Larry Osborne says it in this book, Sticky Church. And he goes into that. Well, I want to take it a little bit farther, and I want to talk about the connection points in your life. Here's a cute little picture. This kid, I felt like, hey, if his parents were willing to put it up on the internet, I might as well use it. He probably won a prize or something at a Halloween costume contest. The first slot, the first connection point, is that you are created to connect with God. If you think of yourself as a Lego, that number one priority for connection in your life that you are created for is to connect with God. I already mentioned that. You know, he's a creator and a connector. He wants to be intimately involved in your life. I hope you understand that. But there's a problem. There was a problem, and there still is a problem. You see, in the garden, Adam and Eve chose to sin. They chose to disobey what God had planned for them. And you're probably familiar with the story. He says, hey, you can eat of any tree in the garden except this one in the middle. And then they're tempted, and they eat. And God confronts them. He comes back to them, tries to reconnect with them. And that sin disconnects us from God. There's a brokenness in the connection with God. And Romans 5:19 tells us that through the sin of one man, many were made sinners. You see, we inherited a sin nature. And that may not be fun to talk about, but we all did. We inherited that sin nature. Nobody taught Coley how to sin. When Coley was, you know, very young, I learned how to sin. I knew it. I mean, I didn't have to learn it. It was just there in my nature. And you're like me too. You may try to say, well, Coley, maybe not, you know, whatever. But no, we all know, every one of us in this room to 100%, we've sinned. We struggle with sin. We disobey God. We do it maybe different ways. We all have our different styles, how it works out in our lives. But that sin creates brokenness in our connection with God. And this verse in 2 Corinthians tells us so clearly that God wants to reconcile with us. He wants to reconnect with us. Some things that verse tells us, and read the yellow for me again. Let's continue with that. God reconciled us to himself through Christ. You see, he was so willing to reconnect with us, and he desired it so much so that he was willing to send his son Christ. And so he sends Christ to us. This verse goes on. It says, that is, in Christ, God was the world to himself. God was reconciling. That Greek word reconcile, it means to establish a peaceful relationship with mankind. That's what it's talking about. It says to establish a peaceful relationship. God, when he reconciled himself to you, he made a way, he established a way to again have a peaceful relationship with you. I hope you understand that. Now, God's the main actor in that. He's the doer. He's the initiator. We're the receiver. God is reconciling the world to himself. God wants to be connected with us. That is the first connection point. But that sin, that brokenness, causes some problems in the world today. We have broken relationships, not only with God, but it bleeds over into broken relationships with others. I'm going to give you four quotes up on the screen, and every one of them I heard in this room. These are things people said to me at church. Nobody notices if I'm here or not. This person shared with me, they said, I've been gone for 4 weeks. And they'd come back, and I said, oh, hey, haven't seen you in a little while. Yeah, nobody notices if I'm here or not. And that's one of the dangers of a larger church. It's one of the dangers or the negatives of having several services. The other quote, I'm not connecting. They say, yeah, I come into worship. I just kind of drift in and out. I'm not connecting. I don't have any deep relationships. I just don't feel connected. And those are quotes. Those are things people told me in this room. And some of you may have walked in today and you feel isolated. You feel disconnected. And you come to worship and you drift in and you drift out, and you can know that you can walk in here and nobody will talk to you. Or it may just be a quick, hey, how you doing? I'm from the South. In the South, we're real good at that, hey, how you doing? You know, and you know that somebody wants to really know how you're doing if they stop walking. But if they keep walking, if they just kind of slow down, hey, how you doing? No. It's just that shallow, I'm making a weak attempt to be polite. And that's not God's desire either. You see, God desires that we connect with Him, but He also desires that we connect with others. God wants us to, that second connection point is going to be where He wants us, He created us to connect with others. He created, I'm going to say that again, He created us to connect with others, and I will say in the church and outside the church. So the first point of connection in your life as a Lego is that God created you to connect with Him. But He also created you to have connection with others. But that sin breaks it. You see, we get self-centered. We get focused on ourselves too much. We get focused on other things. And that sin also breaks connection with others. But if you look around our world today, people know that they need connection. People understand this, non-spiritual and spiritual people. They understand they need connection in their lives. This is why people join fan clubs. This is why people sign up and put a page on social network. This is why people go to a bar and pay 3 times the price for a beer. They could sit at home and drink it cheaper. But they go for the connection because they long for it. And some of you walked in here today, you come to church and you think, well, maybe I'll be able to connect at church. Maybe if I just walk in the room, somebody will reach out to me and connect with me. And there are stories of when that happens here in this church, and I love it. There are many good stories. I had a lady call me one Monday morning, and she said, Coley, I tell you what, I had to call you. It was like 9 o'clock on Monday morning. I mean, she was lucky I was here. I was just like, oh, sometimes I have, you know, stumble in at 9 o'clock. Okay. She said, I have to tell you, I was so blessed yesterday at church. It's one of the friendliest churches we've been to. We moved in the area. She said, we visited several churches. We came to Spring Hills, and I was so blessed. It's so friendly. So there's positive also. I'm not just trying to give you the negative. But the reality is, we have significant numbers of people who come in, and you may be one of them this morning. You come in, and you know you're not connecting. You come to worship, you go home. And if that's where you're at, I'm going to encourage you throughout this message. I'm going to give you some steps to take because I want you to be connected to God, and my heart is for you to be connected with others. Now, if we don't get connection with others in healthy ways, we'll chase after it in unhealthy ways. You know, so much so that I said this last night, and I got one really quiet amen from a 20-something young lady sitting about halfway back, and I loved it. I said this, I said, we long for connection with others so much so that we will stay in a bad relationship, a bad connection, an unhealthy connection, even when we know it. We can be very aware of it. It's a bad connection. It's a bad relationship for me. But I'll stay in it because the pain of being disconnected is worse. The pain of being alone is worse. And this one young lady went, amen. I talked with her after the service and she's in a bad connection. She's connected with others, but it's not good. It's so hard to disconnect, though. And why is it hard to disconnect from those relationships? Because you're created to connect with others. You're created to connect with others. That verse, I'm going to read it again from 2 Corinthians because I think it tells us this. It says in verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us. God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Are you kidding me? God has given that to us? It says he's made us ambassadors for Christ. You see, we're to be connected with others in the church. When somebody comes here, our brothers and sisters in the faith, we need to connect with them. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. But also, he wants us to connect with others outside the church. He wants us to go into the community and find connection with people who aren't connected with him yet. We're ambassadors for Christ. It says he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. But sometimes we aren't willing to do that. What does connection look like for us? What does connection look like? And I think this is where we see it in Acts 2. We see the believers get together and they're devoted to the teaching of God's word. They're devoted. You know, they'll sit in homes together and they'll share God's word together and they'll wrestle through. That doesn't mean that they understood all of it. It doesn't mean that they had all the answers about it. You know, sometimes my neighbors, they may ask me a theological question. I don't have the answer to it. But I sit there with God's word and I say, okay, let's find it. Let's connect together as we connect with God. Remember, our God is a creator and he's a connector. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He wants us to be ambassadors for Christ. What does connection look like? It's also where, you know, we see in Acts 2 where they're serving together. The believers are serving God together. They gave generously. Let's look at that. If you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to open that up or to scroll to it if you're on an electronic device. Acts 2, 41 through 47. So those who accepted his message were baptized. Okay, that baptized, that's the connection. They accepted the message. So they accept the message and now they're connected and they display that connection publicly by being baptized. And that day about 3,000 people were added to them. Connection. They were added to them. People not connected to God or the church heard Peter's message and then they got connected. And look what else happened. It says, now all the believers were together and held all things in common. That sounds pretty connected, doesn't it? God wants his people to be connected. God wants a connected church. And then it says, and every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. You see, he wasn't done connecting with just the 3,000. So we have a picture here of God's early church. And folks, this is our example. This is what God gave us in his word as our example of a connected church. This is what connection looks like. The message is proclaimed. People are added to them. People have all things in common. They're serving together. They're breaking bread together. They're fellowshipping together. They're praying together. They're worshiping God together. They are connected. And let me tell you this, a connected church is attractive to the world. A connected church will change a community. A connected church has something to offer to a disconnected people living in a disconnected world. And don't think that our social networking is providing for that connection for others, because it's not. It's good. I don't mind it. I'm on Twitter. It's okay. But we cannot think that that's real connection. because it's not meeting their needs. A connected church will be attractive to a disconnected world. We need to be connected to God. We're created for connection with God, and we're created for connection with others, both in the church and outside the church, so that those outside the church will then get in the church and be connected to God. See how this works? That's God's plan. That's God's heart. Man, that'll get us fired up if we're not careful. Okay. I wish my voice could be a little stronger. Ah. Thank you so much. Hey, the next thing, you were created to connect with a purpose. You were created to connect with a purpose. I'll just tell you, your life is not an accident. You weren't born in the year you were born. You're not just here to drift through 80 years or so. That's not God's plan. God has a purpose for you. He wants you to get connected to that purpose. But remember our problem. Our problem is sin. And if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, that sin nature, that old man, will creep back in. Romans tells us that we're dead to sin, but it comes back sometimes. And it'll try to keep us disconnected from God. It'll try to keep us disconnected from others. And it'll try to break your connection with God's purpose for your life. And maybe as you go into 2015, you might want to say, God, I'm going to focus my prayer on how I get connected with your purpose for me. What part do I play in a bigger picture, God? You were created to connect with God. You're created to connect with others. You're created to connect with a purpose. Look at this little icon. This is a visual prompt for you as you go through this week to remember this little guy. He's active. He's moving towards something. God will show you your purpose. He will. He will show you your calling. He will show you the direction you're to take. He'll show you what part you play in a ministry. Now, people are like Legos because we're designed for connection, but we're designed to be a part of something bigger than us. This poor little Lego, or poor big Lego up here, it's not connected. This thing's just for example. It's got nothing to connect to. It's not connected. That's not its design. Really, if I had, if I could ask Tom for two or three more, that'd be great, wouldn't it? We'd start connecting them up here, and I would lay this thing down. I'd get another big one. I'd put it on maybe sideways like this, and I would connect them. And together, when they're connected, they will become something bigger, something different. And that's what he wants for his church. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for our church. Look at this. When you are connected with God and his word, you become a part of something bigger than yourself. My kids love Legos, or my boys loved Legos, because they can join them together and they create something. They make something. What is God building through our church? What is God doing through Spring Hills? Our vision is building generations for Jesus Christ. Our vision, and Pastor Tom's going to preach on that vision again in a few weeks. Our vision is building generations for Jesus Christ. And folks, we need Legos. We need you. We need you to get connected because you have a part to play. You have a purpose in God's ministry here. And it will be so easy for you to drift in and out of worship services, and that's it, and not get connected and not be a part of what God's really doing here, the bigger thing. I believe he's got a ministry for you to get involved in. You're created to connect with a purpose. All right, great quote here. I want to read this for you. You're going to see this slide twice because it's so important. Again, let's let you read the yellow. Virtually every emotional and psychological problem, from addictions to depression, has alienation or emotional isolation at its core or close to it. Recovery from these problems involves helping people get more connected to each other at deeper and healthier levels than they are. Henry Cloud was an author. Jeff, I believe he's a psychologist, is that right? Yeah, counselor. And Christian, This is pretty important what he says here. Virtually every emotional, psychological problem, from addictions to depression, has alienation or emotional isolation at its core or close to it. Think of Luke 15. Think of the stories in Luke 15 where Jesus shares the three parables. The first parable is a lady and a talent. She loses a talent in her home. What does she do? She tears her house apart looking for it. The second parable, he says in Luke 15, is the lost sheep. And yet the shepherd leaves the 99 to go look for the one, because the one is isolated, because the one is disconnected. God is a creator and a connector, remember. And then that third one is the son, the prodigal son, we call it, where the son disconnects from his family and he goes off. And the father, every day, he's looking. He's looking for his son to reconnect with him. God wants to connect with you. God does not want you to be in isolation. When I'm in isolation, I get in trouble. I'm just be honest with you. When I'm in isolation, it doesn't take me very long to get in a bad spot. And I'll tell you, and people, my friends know me, I can show up places and be there physically, but I'm isolated emotionally or mentally or spiritually. And that's why it's so important for me to have several groups in my life. I have a group of men that don't let me get isolated. I have a group of families that my wife and I connect with regularly, and they don't let us get isolated, because God is a creator and God is a connector. He wants you to be connected to Him, and He wants you to be connected to others, and He wants you to be connected to His purpose. I saw this picture of Legos, and I had to include it because I felt like it represented what some of us, I'll say some of us, at times have felt like as we come into services here. You see, Legos, my sons, when they would get Legos for Christmas, they didn't just take them out of the box and they dump them in the floor and go, yes, there it is, a bunch of Legos that are in proximity to one another. No. You see, we as Christians, we're not just designed to be next to each other and sing a few songs. That anybody? We're not designed or created just to be close to each other and sing a few songs. That's not the design for Legos. Those Legos aren't finished. Those Legos aren't being used for their purpose. You see, they're designed to be connected. And some of you are scared to death of connection. What I'm saying to some of you, it scares you because you think, Coley, see, I tried that connection thing once and I got hurt, or it was awkward, or it felt weird, or they asked me hard questions. My dad, I'll tell you a quick dad story. My dad, I asked him once, I said, hey, Dad, you know, you guys have this small group you're going to. How do you like it? He said, Coley, they just get too personal. I said, Dad, what do you mean they got too personal? He said, they asked me what I do for a living. Now, he was partly kidding, but my dad also likes to keep things kind of, you know, close to home. Some of you may feel that way. Some of you may feel that way, and God may be stretching you in this message right now. You say, you may be saying to God, no, God, I'm doing okay because I'm showing up at worship, and I stand within 3 feet of somebody else. Now, some of you, you know, you like to have your own row. You don't want to be close to anybody else. We'll work on that. It's okay. All right. Others of you feel like, you don't feel like maybe the Legos, but this visual will identify with you a little bit more. You feel like you're in this climb all by yourself. You want to be connected. You long for connection. Maybe you've even chased after some connection, but you still feel disconnected. And you feel like you're in this thing all by yourself. And folks, it's not meant to be that way. And we as a church can improve greatly in getting connected. And that's my heart for this coming year. That quote again, it's so important. I felt like I could put it in twice. Do not stay in isolation. If you are isolated now, or if you've been isolated in the past, you know it's not good. Get out of it. Find connection somehow. connection with God, connection with others, connection with your purpose. All right. The three little visual images I have for you today, we're designed to be connected with God, we're designed to be connected with others, and we're designed to be connected with a purpose. Now, but that wasn't me. Okay. But what are we going to do about it? Okay, I've given you this message, and it's probably, you know, for some of you, it's convinced you. Maybe you're like, okay, I believe you, but what in the world do I do? I don't know what to do, Coley. So, you know, one of the things on my responsibility list, my job description is small group ministry. Our small group ministry here at the church, we got to get better. We need to grow. We need to increase that. And so how do we do that? We want to have connection groups. Instead of just calling them, hey, small groups, hey, we're going to have small groups, I really want these groups to be places of connection. I want to develop some connection groups. That's what we're going to do. We're going to give you some spots like this for you to get connected in the church. Now, it's not so we can claim that you're connected to Spring Hills. It really is all about God, others, and your purpose. See, those are things we want you to learn in a group. When you're in a small group with people and you're around God, it's God-centered and it's centered on God's Word, and you're looking at things and you're learning and you're discussing and you're growing, you will get connected with God. You will get greater connection with God. You'll get deeper connections with God. You'll get greater connections with others. You'll become more transparent. You'll become more invested. You'll become stronger in your relationships with others. And we need that. I already shared that. You'll also discover, I believe, as you bounce ideas off of others in a small group, you'll discover your purpose. What role do I play in this ministry here? I want to be productive. I don't want to just sit. I want to be a part of what we're doing in building generations for Christ. So what do you do? I don't really have an altar call for you to come up to the altar. Now, some of you may say, I need to do that at the end of the service. That's okay. But really what I want you to consider doing is coming to this January 11th group link event, because that's going to be the place where we take all of our Legos. That's you, okay? Where we get all of our Legos in the same room. And you don't have to feel weird because everybody's coming for the same purpose. You don't have to say, well, you know, I feel weird because I'm the only one that's disconnected. No, we're all coming there because we're all disconnected. We want to be more connected. And so at that event, you're going to come and we're going to take our room full of Legos and we're going to try to find the best connection for you. We'll have group leaders that are there, and the groups will meet on different days, different times, different places, different age groups, different seasons of life. And you can hopefully find the one that evening where you connect with best. My heart is that we will not be like this, and that we'll not be like that picture of a bunch of Legos close together, but that we really will be built into something for God's kingdom. We'll be built up and we'll build generations for Jesus Christ. I do have a short little commercial here. Blake, are you able to get that here in a second? Awesome, buddy. My daughter Letty helped me make this. Hey, what, you know, this wouldn't be a Spring Hills sermon without a reference to one of our children. And so, unashamedly, I'm using my daughter today. And so, watch this with me for just about 38 seconds.
We live in a connected world. Smartphones, tablets, Wi-Fi, and social media are all fun. It's like we were created to be connected. Real connections don't always come naturally. It may take some hard work. Spring Hills wants to be a place where you connect. You could join a connection group today. You'll meet lots of people who want to connect with you. You'll study God's Word together. And you'll grow.
All right. That was almost the end of it. That's okay, though. We'll go ahead. What I really want...
Contact my dad, Pastor Coley, for more information.
Yeah, that was kind of the cutest part. Contact my dad, Pastor Coley. All right. I really want to encourage you to prayerfully consider connections. Connections. Get connected. I want us to be a connected church, because I do believe what I said earlier, a connected church can impact the community. And a connected church will be attractive to an outside world. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for each individual here. I thank you for the plans you have for their new year. I thank you for the experiences you've brought them through as their creator. I thank you that you are a connector and that you have desired connection with each one of them. And Lord, as we start this process of trying to connect with each other, we know it won't be perfect. We know there will be some awkwardness and there will be some times of frustration. But God, we're going to trust you. And Lord, I pray that this church would be a community where people can feel connected. They would be connected to you. They would feel like they can safely connect with others. And they would discover how to connect with kingdom purposes. Lord, we will trust you. Lead us, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Slow to anger.
God is still speaking. It's not through this, it's through His Word. And so we trust that He did that to you this morning. I do want to encourage you, if you want to get connected in those groups, you can go to the website and there's a Get Connected tab, and you can join a group, and that will send me an automated email. I'll have your information, a short form to fill out that tells me the days you're available, times, what kind of group you're looking for as far as ages and things like that, male, female, you know, only, things like that. So we want you to get connected. God's design for you is to be connected. Let me pray for you again. Father, thank you for these dear, wonderful brothers and sisters. And Lord, as they go out into the world, I pray you would go with them. God, we want to be attractive to those who are outside of you, who are not connected with you. We want to show them your love, your grace, your mercy, freedom in you. We want to show them what a life connected with you looks like. And God, I know that my brothers and sisters here, they're going into all kinds of different situations this week. Bless them, watch over them, give them favor. Let us be light in darkness. In Christ's name and for Christ's glory, amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week, guys.